Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
But right now is the arena by and through which you demonstrate that you're going to live forever. So how you handle your money, how you handle your relationships, how you resolve conflict, how you raise your kids, what you do right now, you do it with a sense of passion.
I'm Jim Burns. Our kids are growing up in a culture that places a greater emphasis on accomplishments than it does on character, and that bothers me. As a result, we as parents often find ourselves spending more time teaching our kids how to do things rather than why they should. Now, if you're a Christ follower, you know how important it is to pass a legacy of faith onto your children and actually onto your grandchildren if you have grandchildren. We can talk to them all we want about how to get to heaven, but if they don't understand the real reasons why they can go there, then we really haven't done our job in teaching them about truth. During the next half hour, Crawford Loritz joins me for an honest, upfront, and insightful discussion about what is really involved in passing a legacy of faith to your kids. Now, this is the kind of conversation that just might change the way you think about parenting. It's on Homeward, and it starts right now. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. We're here in studio with Crawford Loritz. What a privilege and a pleasure. We're talking today about passing a legacy of faith on to your kids. Crawford is currently senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church in Roswell, Georgia, and he actually hosts a daily radio feature called Living a Legacy. Formerly, he was an associate director of the U.S. Ministries at Campus Crusade for Christ International, an organization I respect greatly. He's been married to Karen for over 34 years, and he parents four grown children. Crawford, welcome finally to the Homeward program.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. He said you were waiting to get me on the program.
That's right. You were at the top of the list, and that's no scraping a barrel. I've appreciated your ministry for a long time, and I appreciate the incredible integrity in which you live your life as well as you speak your message.
So, well, you're very kind.
Well, it's great to have you here. You know, one of the most important gifts we as parents can give our children is a legacy of faith, and actually a glimpse of their eternal destiny. And, you know, it seems to me that with Christians, you have people who just long for heaven, and yeah. I hear people talking about that. You have others who are saying, you know, I'm not sure I really want to go right now. I'm kind of liking my life, you know, as it is. How do you help people understand that this eternal perspective will help them in their life today as well?
Well, where you're going and where you came from gives meaning to where you are. I mean, that's the whole deal. The reason why we need to understand history is to know where we came from, to either not repeat the same mistakes or to take advantage of the leverage that God has given in our sovereign foundations. And the reason why we need to know where we're going is that it provides accountability for how we live right now.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, in a book of yours, which I loved, called For a Time We Cannot See, one of the things you say is that we have to live each day in light of living, you know, with heaven in mind. So we're living one day at a time, and yet at the same time we're doing that. You've kind of said that, but how do you do that in the midst of 2.4 kids yeah. and life is crazy, and you know, the kids aren't thinking about heaven, and a lot of times we're trying to get by, you know, to the next hour.
Right. Well, you have to have a vision of what they're going to look like. That gives meaning to my parenting right now. It is not just about getting them through this current crisis. It is not just about changing these dirty diapers. It is not just about giving, you know, Joey time out. It's all about 25 years from now, what does Joey look like? Long after I'm gone, when I'm in my grave, what do my great-grandkids look like? And where are they going? What statements are they making? I tell you, one of the great problems that we have today in our culture, particularly in the Christian culture, is that we've lost the noble reasons for living the Christian lives, the noble reasons. And we have reduced everything down to pragmatics, everything down to how to do this, how to do this, how to do this. And there's a certain smugness and arrogance that has gripped us whenever we go to that place, because we think our moment in history is just about our moment in history. Mm-hmm. It's just about here and now, where the primary motivation for living the Christian life in the Bible mm-hmm. has to do with a time that we can't see. And it's a reality that we are citizens of heaven, of a future, and eternal life is real. And so I approach the how-tos with a sense of destiny, with a sense of nobility, that I'm going to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day. And that is so very real. It's more real than where I am right now. And it is that vision that produces resiliency and character and steadiness and a sense of just profound integrity, because it's not held hostage to my moment.
Boy, that is very profound. I was thinking this week I did a funeral, and I talked a lot about eternity at funerals. That's what you do. And a wonderful man. He was 80 years old and just a great Christ follower. And, you know, one of those things where he left a great legacy. And one of his children came up to me afterwards, and, you know, the children's probably, you know, in their 50s, and said, "You helped me so much with being focused on eternity." And he said, "It really wasn't about Dad. I knew Dad would be with in heaven, but you helped me get through, you know, these next few weeks just in terms of some of the burdens I have," because in some ways what you're saying is, if we focus on eternity, it's not just this short life that we live. And in some ways, you know, we can hug our children you know, stronger.
Right,
we can
we
get our priorities more in perspective.
Exactly. And you know, you hit the nail on the head. Let's flip the script a little bit. Some people say, "Oh, you know, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good."
Right.
I challenge that statement. I think if you are legitimately obsessed, if I might use the expression, with eternity, you're more passionate about your moment in history.
Isn't that interesting? Paul was like that.
Oh, absolutely.
He had an incredible eternal perspective, it seems like. He'd be going along, and all of a sudden he'd say something about eternity, and he really had that perspective.
Well, check it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great passage on the future, that great passage on the resurrection, and where you're going to be. How does he end it up? He ends it up by not saying, "Okay, well, just chill and go to the mountains and don't do anything." He says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your current labor is not in vain in the Lord." He said, "Man, look, all you have is right now. You're going to live forever, but right now is the arena by and through which you demonstrate that you're going to live forever. So how you handle your money, how you handle your relationships, how you resolve conflict, how you raise your kids, what you do right now, you do it with a sense of passion and fervor."
Now, there are certain what you call defining moments in our life that seem to kind of crystallize having an eternal mindset. Talk about how we as parents can use our own defining moments to help our kids discover their eternal perspective with these defining moments.
You know, with the breakdown in the family, with the pain that our culture has experienced over the last 35 years, you know, with the ravages of divorce and all of that stuff, we have become disconnected from patriarchs. And I think that's part of the postmodern culture. Someone once said postmodernity is not so much a philosophical category as it is a diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. Now, getting back to your question here, as parents, part of our role is to prepare our children for a time that we can't see. And what we need to do is tell them of stories. What happened in your life? Why do you believe what you believe? How did you overcome those things? What made the difference in your life? And the defining moment in history, obviously, is Calvary. When did the Christ of history come breaking forth in your life? And what does that mean to you? What does eternal life mean? How does that define your choices? You know, the fact that we're going to live forever, eternal life is not just the quantity of our lives. It is the quality of our lives. How does this eternal perspective affect how you love me as your child, how you raise me as your child, and tell those stories in your life, how God came through for you? You know, I've been blessed to be the great grandson of a slave. And the great blessing of that is that my dad was the youngest boy of 14 kids, and Pop died in 1995 at 81, and he knew my great grandfather, Peter, the slave. And the stories of this dude are incredible. My dad said he used to sit and rock back and forth at the old homestead of the house there and sing and pray and talk about heaven. Well, what gave him dignity, although he was a former slave, was a vision of where he's going. Now, here this slave forges generations of strong male leadership in my family. My grandfather, Milton, my dad, my uncles. I have been blessed profoundly with men of integrity and model who modeled character to me. Where did they get it from? They got it from a slave who had nothing, but he had a vision of heaven, a vision of God. And because of that, there's been stability and strength. Now, that story, I have sat down and told my kids that, and I can't wait. Oldest grandson is 6 years old, and we're going to pass that on to him. Because that's nobility. That's biblical nobility. You know, eternity is so much. It is all over the pages of Scripture. It gives you a sense of definition and identity.
Boy, that's incredible. I want to talk more about that in just a minute. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward. What an encouraging and inspiring conversation today featuring Dr. Jim Burns and author and pastor Crawford Loritz here on the Homeward broadcast. And Crawford has written a book called For a Time We Cannot See. And we're talking about passing a legacy of faith onto our kids. So very, very important that we think about eternity in everything that we do with our kids and with our grandkids and the decisions that we make today and how they're going to impact our families in the future. So very, very wise. A wise counselor friend of mine said, remember, you want to avoid instances where you could be setting yourself for an object of permanent blame. You want to make sure that you're looking ahead and thinking, okay, how is this impacting today? How is it going to impact us in generations to come? And we'll have more of this conversation with Jim Burns and Crawford Loritz coming right up here as Homeward continues. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, Crawford Loritz with us. We're talking about passing a legacy of faith with our kids. We're actually talking about how do we help them have a glimpse of their eternal destiny and how do we have a more powerful and proper way, if you would, of understanding eternity in the midst of, you know, trying to pay the bills and make the house payment and take the kids to school. Crawford, right before we took a break, we were talking about kind of this whole in your own personal life, you know, the patriarch, if you would. We've lost that. And I would say most people probably don't have the kind of story, well, obviously they don't have the story that you have, but they don't even have the legacy of faith. Many people are what we call transitional generation faith people. That's what Kathy and I are. We weren't raised in the church. Right. We became Christians. And so they don't have this history. Right. What do you say to the person who basically they're just starting out? They want to build their family the way your family was built. They want to have this. They don't even know what to do. They don't even know where to begin. They don't know how to get to first base.
Yeah, well, I think what they need to do is not talk about it in a negative way. Not talk about it in the sense of, I didn't have this before, and, you know, because I didn't have, I don't know what I'm, no. You are the one that's creating the history.
That's great.
You are the one. You are the one that's launching it, and it is a sense of mission that you have right now. I mean, it's amazing, and that's the way you have to look at it, that God's raised you up to start a legacy that will keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. Every day of your life, you're setting and establishing spiritual precedents for future generations, and the ball's in your hand, and you got to determine, what am I going to do with this? And so I think it's an exciting time. It is a wonderful time because you are the one that's creating the stories. I would challenge that person, if you're in that transition generation, you're the first one in your family that you know about, you need to start keeping a spiritual journal. You need to start keeping the stories of what God has done in your life so that you can, and I talk about this in the book, so that you can leave these footprints, eternal footprints in the sands of time so that succeeding generations be able to pick them up and say, oh, Grandpa Jim, look at this. He was at the same place I was, and look at the decisions that he made. Look at how God brought him through. Yeah. So I think it's an exciting time.
No, I appreciate that perspective as well, because I think that is key. I was speaking to some people not too long ago, and I said, can you tell me who the first name of your great-great-great-great-grandfather? And there's probably 400 people in the room, and, you know, no one could put their hand up. And then finally a guy came to me later, and he said, well, you know, I think his name was. But what I was trying to get across to it was that we are influenced and impacted by four generations from now. And, you know, who knows what will happen four generations from now in terms of the Lord coming back or all these various things. But the truth of the matter is that what you're saying is that every person can start right now to build that legacy of faith for generations to come.
That's right. Exactly. And it's because you're going someplace. you're going somewhere. You're going to be in his presence.
Yeah.
And I come back to this whole emphasis of nobility, Jim, that the reason why you can hold your head high and throw your shoulders back is because, in a certain sense, you live above the definitions of your time. You've already been defined. You've already been selected. You know where you're going, and because of that, you bring a sense of purpose and significance to this time in history. And the great pilgrims of Hebrews 11 and 12, you know, they were marching to a city whose builder and maker was God. And they were passing through this life, and on their way through, they splattered on people all around them this marvelous eternal perspective, this aroma that was distinct and different. It's almost as if people around them said, who is that? Where are they going? And I think that we've kind of lost that. We need to regain it.
Right. Well, you know, when you say that, and you're even talking about your family experience with your relative who had been a slave, it seems like when people are in pain and when people are oppressed, it's easier for them to look toward heaven than if life's kind of going okay.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that that's the reason why God uses suffering so profoundly in the life of every follower. You know, I hate to say this because it's true and it hurts, but, you know, suffering is our ally. Suffering is our friend. It reminds us that we don't belong here. Yeah. And it really edits out the nonsense in our lives.
Yeah.
Gets us down to the bare core.
Yeah, no, that really, I was hoping you'd say something like that, because I was thinking about, when I asked that question, I was thinking about so many of our listeners are suffering. You know, we hear from them and they write these emails and I read these emails and I'm overwhelmed with their pain. And it's not that we can help them always take their pain away, but we can help them understand that they can have Christ walk with them through this process. And it's just not this life. It's also the eternal side.
Absolutely. And I tell a story in the book there about my old college friend, Dean Hertzler, a long story about how things unraveled for him. And I just never went right for Dean, never went right for him. And as soon as he gets to a place where it looks like things are going well, you know, he had a son, he and his wife, Jenna, had a son that they had adopted, racially mixed kid, and they had been tossed out of church because of that. It's a long story. I mean, you talk about, unbelievable. Kid contracts cancer, and David dies. I think he was 11 years old when he dies. And finally get to a point where you think things are going well for them, and Dean wakes up one morning with tingling in his legs, and he gets diagnosed, he has Lou Gehrig's disease. And yet, Dean, through his suffering, got to a place where he focused on the glory of God. Wow. You know, it's, I hadn't told this story in a while. And I would call him periodically to say, Dean, how you doing? And there was rejoicing in his heart, because it was as if God used all the suffering to get him to focus simply on Jesus, that he's going to be in his presence. And there was a certain there's a certain humble, invincible tone that you heard from him, that, you know, that he's the Lord's and God's in control, and whatever happens, I'm going to be with him. But God used suffering to get the brilliance of Christ to be demonstrated and seen through him. And so I want to encourage that listener today who's gone through a hard time, and maybe the husband has walked out on him, or maybe you got prodigal kids, and maybe financially things are not working out for you, and maybe things are just falling apart. I want to encourage that person that God has not given up on you, and there's a marvelous work that he's doing in your life, and that you got to believe that. You got to hold on to that. You're going somewhere, and nobody can take heaven from you or the person of Jesus out of your life. And God's doing something special.
Wow. That's a great comment. Thank you for being with us. You've got to come back so we can keep talking.
Oh, I'd love to.
What a privilege.
Certainly is a pleasure to have Crawford Loritz here on the Homeward Broadcast. And as we've been talking about passing a legacy of faith on to our kids, this is at the heartbeat of the ministry of Homeward. We are so committed to helping you as parents and grandparents pass that legacy of faith on to your kids. Dr. Jim Burns has written extensively about this, and he's got some tip sheets on this subject. You've also got his book, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, that devotes an entire chapter to this. And if you'd like to learn more about these resources, you can visit our online resource center if you're not there already at homeward.com. As a fact, you can order any of Jim's books, Confident Parenting, Teenology, Creating an Intimate Marriage, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. You can order any of them when you visit our online resource center at homeward.com.
Well, thank you so much, Roger. And you know, it's interesting, as we talk about building a spiritual legacy, I've said this on the program before, but it's the number one thing that people come to our website
say. That's right.
They say that that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking about my daughter, Christy. She just recently had a birthday. I am so proud of this kid. This is a girl who, when she was very young, had a heart for God. And then, you know, when she became a teenager, she, you know, was a pastor's kid, so to speak. And, you know, she really didn't rebel in big time ways, but, you know, her faith wasn't as strong. And I wrote her a note on her birthday. I wanted to be the first guy, you know, to wish her a happy birthday. So I got up kind of early and I emailed this note. We were able to hang out with her that night. But I just said, Christy, I am so proud of you. And I believe so much in you. And I love the person that you're becoming. And she's not by any means the perfect kid. But what I've realized with Christy is that as she's grown, she's taken on more and more of the values that mom and dad have. And I think a lot of our listeners have kids who aren't doing so well.
Right.
And I think they need to be reminded that they need to be people of integrity. They need to be people who are filled with faith. They need to keep praying for their kids. And I think they're going to experience what Kathy and I are experiencing. You know, there was a time when I remember saying to her, Christy, you didn't become the person I thought you were going to be. And her eyes kind of got as big as saucers. And actually, they kind of got teary-eyed. And I said, you actually have become the person and are becoming the person that God wants you to be. And I just want you to know how proud I am. Well, at that moment, you can see there are tears in my eyes right now. We sort of just gave, you know, the family hug. But in many ways, that's what life is about. It's building this legacy of faith. And we're so hard on each other. I know that as a parent, there are times when it is wonderful. There are times when, even as Jim, the guy who writes books on parenting and on marriage and whatnot, you know, it is the hardest thing in the world. And yet there are those glimpses when you see your kids moving in a good direction. And for our listeners, I want to be able to say, look for those glimpses. It's not going to be easy. It's not perfect. There is not a house that you can live in where you walk 6 inches off the ground with a little white picket fence. It just doesn't happen. But know that if you pursue faith and if you make this a priority in your life, the kind of conversation that we've had today with Crawford Loritz really will help us pass a legacy of faith to our kids and make that a priority. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to make that a part of your life, a part of your prayers. And you know what? In the end, I think you're going to see your kids walk in a good way. They're not going to be perfect, but they're going to walk in a good way. Well, I appreciate so much you listening today. Thank you for being part of the Homeward family, those who support us. You know, we are a listener-supported organization. We covet your prayers. We covet your gifts to keep programs like this on the air. Thanks so much for being with us today. Till then, I'm Jim Burns, and I really appreciate you being with us today.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.